Our belief in the Trinity, our belief that there is one God, and yet this one God is three persons, is a belief that I think is difficult for us today. I see this difficulty in many ways, but one example that just kind of stands out for me is the times that I'll ask children, who died on the cross? And often the answer I get is, God died on the cross. Well, yes, no. Obviously, God didn't die on the cross, at least in his divinity. God in his divine nature can never die. Yes, Jesus, Son of God in his humanity, died upon the cross. But I think it expresses a confusion that's not only in children, but something that we all struggle with. We live in a time when it can be very hard to believe things that we can't quite get our hands on. You know, things that we can't put in a test tube, things we can't measure, things we can't work out with some mathematical formula. We find it hard to believe in the existence of those kind of things. And we also live in a time, I think, that has a struggle with philosophical concepts. Again, when we can't materialize the things that we're talking about, it's just so hard for us to wrap our minds around them. And yet this belief that God is Father, is Son, is Holy Spirit, is very much core to who we are as a Christian people. Once we let go of that, we've let go of the very foundation of our faith. We believe that God is love. And we believe out of this love, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to become one of us. And that Son, born of Mary, died for us on a cross and rose to new life. We believe that God has sent his Spirit to dwell among us. And it is that Spirit that draws us together and forms us into the body of Christ. If you go to the Scriptures, even though they never contain the words Trinity, or that there is one God who is three persons, still that understanding of Trinity is essential in the Scriptures. Now, take in the Gospel of John. Jesus makes a clear distinction between himself and the Father. And yet he says, the Father and I are one. Go to the first chapter of St. John. That part that many of you who are older will remember as the last gospel of the Mass, when we're back in the Latin Mass days. What we still read every Christmas for the Mass of daytime, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word there is talking about the eternal Son of the Father who has lived with the Father forever. And then a little later in that passage, it says, and the Word became flesh. Speaking of how the Son of God took on our humanity. You can go to Paul also. Go to his letter to the Philippians, or go to his letter to the Colossians. Again, there is that very clear understanding that this Jesus is Son of God, is Lord and God, and yet a distinction between him and the Father. This mystery of the Trinity is core to what we believe. Another important aspect of this is that God must remain mystery You know, once that I can understand God, once I say, oh yes, I comprehend, then God is no longer God. God always is above us and beyond us. God is always more than we can conceive. He's greater than our minds can imagine. And so God has to be mystery to us. Otherwise, He is not God. What we have to do is embrace the mystery. Embrace the fact that we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend. We can strive to grow in our understanding of who this God is. We can strive to put it in concepts, but in the end, it is always beyond us. It is always greater than us. It is a mystery beyond our comprehension. There's a line in the first reading that we do well to take to heart. It's talking about Moses going back up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And when he enters into the presence of God, it says he fell down and worshiped. That's what we are called to do. We are called to know that this God is greater than us. That this God is a mystery of love. And we come into the presence of God. We are called to worship. We are called to praise and adore and honor. We are called to acknowledge that He is greater than us, beyond us, that He is the source of all that we have and all that we are, all that we will ever be. That is to be our stance before this God of ours. The mystery of the Trinity has another very important implication for us. If God is Father, Son, and Spirit, eternally united in bonds of love, then the love that our God has for us is that very love that overflows from the Trinity. God creates us out of that love. God sustains us in existence out of that love. God sends His Son to save us out of that love. God calls us to share in His very life because of His great love for us. For all eternity, that overflowing love of God wants to call us to enter into communion of life and love with Him. And that when we are gathered together with Him in the kingdom of heaven, we will be caught up in an intense bond of love forever. That is the mystery of the Trinity. God, who is love, pours that love out upon us, calls us to share in that love now, to share in it perfectly forever in the kingdom of heaven. The feast of the Trinity is a feast that is meant to remind us of who our God is. It is a feast that is meant to call us to adore Him, who is Father, who is Son, who is Holy Spirit. It is a feast that challenges us to live in such a way that we live in love now, so that we can be caught up in a communion of love for all eternity.